Dr. Marcello Pilonetto, welcome to El Microscopio.
It's my pleasure.
This interview is going to be about NDM1. And our first question, Dr. Pilonetto, is what is metallobetalactamase?
Yes, well, it's an enzyme that belongs to the general group of what we call beta-lactamase that has affinity for beta-lactamic antimicrobials and will actually destroy them or make them inactive. So inside the groups of beta-lactamase, there are more than 1,000 enzymes, and they are divided into groups A, B, C, and D. The A group, in the A group, we have some recent beta-lactamases that we have been talking a lot about, like ESBL and KPC. On the B group, we have the metallobeta-lactamases. We have heard a lot of SPM, which is very common in Pseudomonas aeruginosa, and it's very common in Brazil. SPM is an acronym for São Paulo metallobeta-lactamase, which was first identified in São Paulo, but it's very common in Pseudomonas aeruginosa. Then we have the C group, which is mainly MPC, inducible beta-lactamase, we also call that. It's very common in Enterobacteriaceae. And we have D group, which is mainly represented by oxacillinases, which are mostly found in Acinetobacter species. So going back to group B, metallobeta-lactamases, NDM1 is the most recent described. It was described in 2009 in a patient from Sweden that has traveled to India. And then back to Sweden, he was found with an infection, and they detect that this isolate was resistant to carbapenemic antimicrobials. And they tried to search the already known enzymes and couldn't find, and then found out that this was a new enzyme. And since the patient has been in a hospital in New Delhi city in India, they call New Delhi metallobeta-lactamase.
What antibiotics is it resistant to?
Well, NDM1 is very worrisome because this enzyme, NDM1, will turn the bacterial resistance to virtually all beta-lactamic antibiotics, cephalosporin, first generation, second, third, and fourth generation, ampicillin, and especially carbapenemics, which generally most Enterobacteriaceae used to be sensitive. And now with NDM1, they become resistant. The only beta-lactamic left is Aeruginosa. But this bacteria could have another resistant mechanism that turn its resistance also to Aeruginosa, which is very common in some species. So you have as a therapeutic option only tigecycline, colistin, and sometimes I forgot the last name, how to say in English. I will remember that in a minute. Fosfomycin, I guess that's the correct pronunciation. Fosfomycin. So you have more than 100 options in the market to treat an infection. And if your bacteria is an NDM1, you stay only with three options: tigecycline, colistin, and fosfomycin.
From the epidemiological point of view, why is it so important?
From an epidemiological, did you ask?
Yes.
Okay, from an epidemiological point of view, there are some evidence that are bringing a lot of worry to the experts that are studying this field, because we had KPC recently, which is a carbapenemase as NDM1 and hydrolyzes carbapenemics. Okay, so KPC is most found in Klebsiella pneumoniae and mainly, almost totally, in a hospital environment. Okay? NDM1 is mainly found in E. coli, and one-third of the cases in E. coli, and almost two-thirds of the cases are found in Klebsiella pneumoniae, which is mainly, again, hospital. But in E. coli, since it belongs to the normal microbiota of the gut, you could have this being shed to environmental places, as has been already proven in India, where you have probably the larger cluster of NDM-positive Enterobacteriaceae. There are some studies published that have found NDM1 in the environment, in the water, in the wastewater, as an example. So what we are very worried is that this E. coli could spread over the community, and you have a different pattern that you have until now, which is to have people at the community that has not been hospitalized with an infection, like a common infection as urinary tract infections or a gastrointestinal infection, with a very, very mold resistant bacteria. So this will be very worrisome.
And how was the identification and determination of the first isolated NDM?
This patient has a lot of complications. He's been in and out wards in the hospital and then in out clinics, and he has this urinary tract infection after one of his hospitalization in New Delhi, and they did find out Klebsiella pneumoniae isolate and E. coli isolate, and both of them were tracked for a carbapenemase, already known carbapenemase, but they couldn't found it. So they later on did the genetic sequence of the gene probably involved and find out there was a new gene. So this was 2008. Okay, then you around 2010 you will have many other cases spreading from India to Pakistan, and then from Pakistan to England, and then in Bangladesh, and then in most of other continents. What here in Latin America is very interesting and unexpected to a certain point of view is that Latin America was the last continent to have this NDM1 positive bacteria. It was detected only in the end of 2011 in Guatemala, okay, in a Klebsiella pneumoniae in Guatemala, and then a few months later in Colombia, in already an outbreak with 6 persons contaminated, and in 2012 it was found in the, Uruguay, and then in Paraguay. In Uruguay, it was found in a different species. It was found in Providencia Hedgeri. And in Paraguay, it was found in Acinetobacter baumannii. So this is very tricky and it's very instigating, because most of the samples isolated all over the world were from Klebsiella or E. coli. And then you found in our continent, South America especially, you found two other species that has not been usually reported as NDM positive. And it's fact that you have in China and France and other countries Acinetobacter baumannii positive NDM by 2011. But in those countries, before that, you had them found in E. coli and Klebsiella or in Enterobacteriaceae, to make it easier. But in South America, at least as far as we know, in the patients from Uruguay and from Paraguay, there's been no relation, no epidemiological link with traveling to India or to have contact with someone that traveled to India. So it's still a kind of mystery where this enzyme came from. Because we already know that this resistance gene is located in a plasmid, and a plasmid could move from one bacteria to other. And you only have to have both bacteria in the same environment. And the most common environment where they can change plasmid is in the gut. you can have an hospitalized patients taking drugs like carbapenemic that will destroy all his microbiota and leaving only the carbapenem-resistant bacteria. And once they're there, they could proliferate and change plasmid with bacteria that already don't have that resistance gene. So it's still some questions to be solved. Where did this Acinetobacter from Paraguay came from? Where this Providencia hetcheri came from? What we are very interested to know is that, interesting, in 2013, last year, we have our first Brazilian isolate, which was found in Rio Grande do Sul, which is a state, the south state in Brazil, that makes border with Uruguay. And, interestingly, it was found first in Providencia hetcheri. But we didn't have the opportunity, as far as we know, the scientists in Brazil and Uruguay didn't have the opportunity to match, to check if there is any genetic relation between these two isolates. Probably there is, but we could not prove this so far. Maybe sometimes, by this time, some groups are studying this relationship between Providencia isolate in Uruguay with Providencia isolate in Rio Grande do Sul, South Brazil. And then, early, the beginning of this year, we isolate in our state, here in Paraná, which is already south of Brazil, and which makes border with Paraguay. We isolate in the city of Londrina, an Acinetobacter baumannii NDM positive. So as far as we know, is the first Acinetobacter positive in Brazil. We have like around 10 isolates that are NDM1 positive since last year in three states, Rio Grande do Sul, Rio de Janeiro, and Brasilia, which is the capital of Brazil. But from Acinetobacter, we don't know any publication or any scientific study that has found this species, Acinetobacter baumannii, to carry NDM in Brazil. But we do have an Acinetobacter positive in Paraguay. And as you might know, there's intense traffic, transit. There's intense transit between people from Brazil to Paraguay, especially from Paraná to Paraguay, and from Paraguay to Paraná. So this instant migration, this pendule, as we call pendule migration, from one country to another, in just one day you are in Paraguay, and the next day you're back in Brazil, and vice versa, could possibly have bring this isolate from Paraguay to Brazil. But this is only an hypothesis. We cannot prove this so far. And we will only be able to prove if we have these two strains, the one isolate from Paraguay and the one isolate from Brazil, and compare them together for genetic relationship.
Okay, here in Argentina, we had the first NDM was in Providencia, too, last year in Buenos Aires.
Oh, that's great. I haven't heard of that already because probably it's not published yet, right?
I don't know. The Malbran Institute gave us the alert.
Yes. The alert, epidemiological alert. Okay. And it's very interesting because now we have in three South American countries that makes borders with each other, Providencia. I think we should investigate that further because maybe what we are experiencing here in South America, it's a different epidemiological approach than we are having in India or UK and Bangladesh and Pakistan, which is mainly in Klebsiella and E. coli. Because if you have a Providencia in Argentina, you also have Providencia in Uruguay, and you also have Providencia in South Brazil. So we got to keep on watching close to that and see if there's a common source of this dissemination between countries, between frontiers.
Yes, and the same way of transmission, maybe.
Yeah. I know that the whole thing with NDM1 started in India because of medical tourism. People come from UK to make surgery in India. People come from many other countries, not only UK, but from Sweden, and come to India to make surgery, what they call now medical tourism. And I know that in with Brazil and Paraguay, there is some of this medical tourism, especially for aesthetic reasons and of course, lower cost reasons. People who leave Brazil to make surgeries, aesthetic surgeries in Paraguay. And this is a risk because you cannot control this very much. It depends on people. And it's not easy to control, like health authority to control that. But it's another challenge for us at working in the microbiology field.
Our last question, Dr. Marcelo Pilonero, is what phenotypic methods are used to identify carbapenemase, and what is the algorithm, and if laboratories can do it?
Okay, here in Brazil we have a regulatory agency called Anvisa. You probably have the equivalent in your country, and it has make this regulation this regulation authority has made a technical note where it defines that phenotypically you should if you have a carbapenem resistant isolate, you should investigate if it's a KPC using phenylboronic acid added to carbapenemic discs. If you wanted to look for methylobeta-lactamases, you will use EDTA in a specific concentration added to the disc. And also you can use cloxacillin, which is an antimicrobial, to differentiate better between KPC and MC, or between class A and class C beta-lactamase. We are using this instruction, this technical note. I think one message that I would like to leave that the EDTA test works very well for detecting NDM1. We already have in our lab five NDM1 positives, one in Acinetobacter and four in Enterobacteriaceae coming from Rio Grande do Sul, mainly Klebsiella pneumoniae, Enterobacter ormaci, and Providencia at Gary. And the test works very well. What you see is that the halo in the disc that you use to do the susceptibility test increase a lot when you use EDTA. The literature say, if this ray is more than 5 millimeters, if the antibiotic with EDTA has an halo of more than 5 millimeters, comparing to the antimicrobial without the EDTA, you have a positive phenotypic test. What we have seen so far with these isolates is that we have a more than 10 millimeters increase in the halo with EDTA. Why this? Because EDTA... It's a divalent ion chelant, so he will capture zinc, and zinc is an important coenzyme for methylobeta-lactamase. That's why they received this name, methylobeta-lactamase, because the divalent ions, metallic ions, are a coenzyme for them. So if you capture the zinc, the enzyme won't work. If the enzyme won't work, the isolate will return susceptible to that drug, and the halo will increase. It's very nice. There are a lot of pictures on the web, and there's a lot of technical notes that you can find how to do this in detail. What I want to say is that it does work very well. Our agency has... In association with many experts, microbiology experts all over Brazil, has decided to change the investigation of KPC and not use more modified Hodge test, because there's a lot of false positives. Well, I do agree with that. But if you are in a laboratory that has a great routine, that has many, many samples that are KPC positive, you can also use Hodge tests with some criteria. And if you do as much as we do here, like 10 to 20 tests per day, you soon become familiar with what results are really positive and what results are false positives. So I wouldn't exclude totally modified Hodge tests for investigating KPC. Otherwise, I would include fenugreek acid and cloxacillin, but not exclude totally Hodge tests. We still are using Hodge tests in our lab, and we have a very good correlation. And if your technicians are used to read the results, it has a very, very good specificity and very good sensibility also. Once you have confirmed phenotypically KPC, NDN, you can then, in Brazil we do this with the local labs, once detect phenotypically test positive, they send the samples to a reference, generally to the state reference laboratory, and then the state reference laboratory will do the genetic confirmation, generally by real-time PCR, looking specifically for a black KPC gene or for black NDM gene, and also black OXA48 gene, which is it's another trap that could be isolated on carbapenem-resistant bacteria.
Thank you very much, Dr. Marcelo Piraneto, for your time. It has been a really interesting interview.
Okay, it was very nice to participate with you in this talk. And I hope we'll meet each other soon again. And it's a pleasure to collaborate with your web radio. Thank you very much for the opportunity.